always be there. Deep within our peace, love we share. I know in our hearts the heat, together as one. I know when our eyes meet, forever as one. In our thoughts we live.
Welcome to the Conservative Liberal Week 29. Glad that, I'm glad. Not about where, but I am glad that you are listening to me today. Whoever you are, wherever you are, it's a good thing. We got a lot to talk about today. We try to compress things into a shorter type format. Try to maintain your interest. Let's see what we're going to talk about today. I'm using words. Words. Words are interesting. Where did words come from? It came from the dictionary. Nah, they didn't come from the dictionary. They came from expression. I think, when man landed here or was, evolved, he expressed himself with probably grunting, making those kinds of sounds to scare off animals maybe, or predators. Or if he was doing something he liked, he'd be like, I don't know if, that's probably the beginning, right? You're hearing me and I'm talking and you're hearing my words and, they're coming from what I'm thinking, and I don't understand sometimes why anybody understands each other. Sometimes we just don't understand each other. I think that's what makes us different, and that's what causes differences. Probably comes down to different belief systems. There are different religious factions that, you believe this, I believe that, and as long as we use our logic, we can appreciate our differences and say, hey, well, it's okay for you to believe that. It's okay for me to believe this. And I think that's what makes the world go round. The only problem is the world is, we got a lot of bumps in the road here trying to spin in a circle here. We're not spinning in a real smooth circle because there's a lot of bumps in the road. And I think a lot of it has to do with people, trying to enforce their expressions and their rules on other people. And folks, it's never going to work that way. And that's what's going to cause, or that's what's causing right now, a lot of difficulty in the world. So, we have to think very carefully about what we say to each other. And we have to express ourselves, but in a way that that doesn't make us feel... it doesn't make us feel bad, but that's the way it is. Sometimes you have to hear the truth. You can't always, just hear what you want to hear. Sometimes, that's the word criticism. There's such thing as bad criticism, I guess. Is there such a thing as bad criticism? I don't know. I think criticism is good. All criticism is good. Maybe it's the tone of voice. Maybe it's the way we say it. To each other, but we all need to hear from our friends and our family and even strangers. Need to be honest with one another about it's what we're wearing or what we're saying or it's the right thing to do to just tell people like it is, and that's what makes America great. That's what makes America so amazing, is that we have that freedom. The other day, I was listening to an interview with Canada Obama, that crazy thing, the New Yorker, with their cover. It was almost like it was totally offensive. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was such an exaggeration of just making people look a certain way that they're not, And the way he You know, I thought that, you know, he said it eloquently and beautifully, the way he was like, well, you know, that's the way it is. People have the right to express themselves. This is what makes America great. This is what our freedom is all about, is that people can you know, use the First Amendment to let people know that you know, it's an exaggeration of maybe nothing. I mean, I think that was, he was saying that there was other things, more pressing issues, than for us to be upset about those certain things. And I thought that was just eloquent, you know. I'm probably more of a McCain guy, but you know, when I get in that booth, I don't know what I'm going to do, folks. I'm going to play this out to the end. And we all should do that. We should not make up our minds too soon. We have to hear them out until we get into that booth, because there's a lot going on in the world, a lot going on every day, and a lot of changes, a lot of people doing a lot of different things. And it's just, it's better for America, in my opinion, and that's why I'm speaking here, and that's why you're listening, to give yourself a chance to really absorb what's going on and follow this campaign as close as you can and hear it out, hear everybody out. And then when you get in that booth, then you make your decision. At least you better make that decision. You better get to that booth. This is a very important election, folks. You know, I think all elections are very important. I think that, you know, they always use that coin the phrase, you're voting for the lesser of, you know, two evils. I don't believe that at all. I believe that these are the men that are running. And we almost had a woman running, but these are the men that are running. And, you know, they all have good qualities. If you look deep, they all have good qualities. And, you know, that I don't believe that for a second, that we're voting for the lesser of two evils. What we're going to do today, we're going to listen to some excerpts that I've caught, pieces of different people that have expressed themselves, and I'm going to dissect them. I'm going to rip them apart if I can, from the right to the left. And let's see, we're going to go on to our first excerpt. Here we go.
Iran cannot defend itself. It is headed toward bankruptcy. All it has is smoke and mirrors. And, of course, the most merciful messiah, Lord Obama, who wants to talk to them and legitimize them. They are dying to meet with the most merciful messiah, Lord Barack Obama, in order to buy time and cut a deal, maybe stay afloat. And, of course, the most merciful messiah, Lord Obama, wants to meet with Iran. So the fake missile launch and that... it results in the price right back up, and it is still there. On what? The experts said, on fears of instability of Middle Eastern oil supplies if Iran launches a strike against Israel, which they can't do. Now, I mentioned this earlier in the program. It was just a few weeks ago that the Democrats in Congress were railing at big oil, telling us that big oil was responsible for high prices and that Congress would be taking charge. Remember Maxine Waters? She let the cat out of the bag. She wanted to nationalize the oil companies. Well, what happened to that solution? What happened to getting even with the speculators? What happened to taking it to those guys? What happened to that solution? Isn't it amazing, my friends, that the scapegoaters in Congress have literally dropped the issue of attacking oil companies now in lieu of oil speculators? So guess who won the debate? With Congress debated the oil executive a few weeks ago. The oil executives, they manned up. The oil executives grew a set, and they finally told Congress the facts of life when it comes to supply, demand, and overregulation. And look what happened. Congress was embarrassed. Americans have figured out who the real enemy is, and big oil's off the hook because they got the facts out. As a result, big oil was dropped as a bad guy faster than a negative Lord Obama story. And oil speculators were instantly declared public enemy number one. Meanwhile, the speculators simply reacting to fake news out of Iran, fake news promulgated by the U.S. drive-by media.
Oh, listen to you, Rush, up to your old tricks here, labeling and Lord Obama calling names and getting all people riled up on the right, getting people to hate. That's what you do. You're a hate monger. You just have your own little twisted way of getting people to think bad about other people. You know, I don't know. I come from the center. I want to bring people together if I can. I mean, there are things on the right that you'll hear me talk about that I believe in wholeheartedly. And then there's things on the left that I believe in wholeheartedly. And that's why I think America is truly in the center. I think you're going to have people that are, you know, if they feel a certain way about certain things, and they may just be completely on the right, and there's just no budging them. And that same goes for the left. But I think the majority of people are right down the middle, and they want people they want everybody to get along to some degree. And that's, I mean, we're talking about Americans now. We want America to get along. Can't worry about the rest of the world. Now, as far as this whole oil thing goes, you know, we're capitalists. Everybody's going to find their angle on how they're going to make some money. You can point the finger, oh, this guy is, you know, he's a scumbag. Look what he's done over here. You know, if you're doing something legally, then you have the right to do that. Now, if it's illegal what somebody's doing, and they can find something in the laws that says, hey, you know, he went about this was illegal trading, insider trading, whatever, then it's up to the government to go after those people. So the cost of oil, I don't know about you folks, and I don't like saying it, but, you know, I still see the freeways are still jammed. And if they're jammed at $4 a gallon, they're probably still going to be jammed at $5 a gallon. And I don't think until you get up to about $6 a gallon that people are really going to be completely careful, more mindful about where they're going. And then that way it'll open up the roads a little bit. I'm not saying we should raise the price, but, you know, just take a look around. You know, if you're in a traffic jam, you're probably thinking the same thing I am. Why are there so many people out there if the gas is this expensive? Well, I know people got to get to go where they got to go. But as I said in my last show, I really believe this wholeheartedly, that all the public type transportation, all the deliveries, all those kind of people out there, it's all got to be electric. All cars should be electric one day anyway. I mean, I think that's where the technology is going. I mean, look at General Motors. We got a beautiful new car coming out called the Volt. And General Motors has the new Saturn View, which is a hybrid. So we don't have to be buying all these foreign cars as well. We can be buying American cars. Americans got the technology, hybrid technology. So come on, people, step it up. Buy the new cars. You know, I know the life cycle of an average car is about 9 years. People hang on to their cars. But you know what? Sometimes we got to step up, folks. We got to do the right thing for the environment. And here I know it sounds like, oh, this guy's low and he's another lefty. No, I'm not. But I think the environment's important. I think being conservative about how we treat our environment is important. That doesn't make it a left issue. It doesn't make it a liberal issue to want to care about our environment. It makes it a human issue. So that's where I'm at with that one. Let's see what else we got here. Let's go to another excerpt, okay? Here we go.
We have Obama as the socialist leader of the very poor. We have Bush as the socialist leader of the very rich. Witness Bush's bailout of his friends on Wall Street through Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, and Bernanke, the Fed chairman. And if you look any further, you'll go back to the government media complex. And I'm calling today for an investigation and a possible indictment of the former federal chairman, Alan Greenspan, and his wife, Andrea Mitchell. And I'll tell you why I say that. I know you may say, why are you singling out Alan Greenspan, the former chairman of the Fed? The answer is because he let this happen. The answer is because sober minds on Wall Street were saying the ship's hitting an iceberg. The plates are coming off the hull. The rivets are popping. And he was saying, ah, oh, sure, the free market will straighten it all out. Oh, let the free market rule. Oh, let the market correct itself. And they're saying, but the ship is taking on water. Oh, no. And there was Andrea Mitchell, his wife on MSNBC, sitting there as part of the government media complex, supporting him at every turn. I've warned you about the government media complex. I believe there has to be, heads have to roll. And I believe you have to look where it starts at the top. Not the tail of the snake, but the head of the snake. And that's the Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan who let this happen, and Bernanke who's letting it happen again. There's no reason in the world that the Treasury Secretary should be able to take taxpayer money and bail out his friends on Wall Street. No siree, Bob. That's one of the topics we're going to talk about today. The poor, the rich, and the clueless. Bush, the socialist leader of the very rich. And Obama, the socialist leader of the very poor. We're going to talk about the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac swindle. We're going to talk about how the war has fundamentally bankrupted America. We're going to talk about other factors related to this economic crisis. on the Savage Nation and other topics as well, including the shameful speeches by McCain and Obama before the racist group La Raza.
See, what you don't get there, Michael, and, you know, I respect you probably out of all the hosts out there, talk radio hosts, I respect you the most. I think you're the most brilliant guy out there. But what you don't get on this one is this is absolutely a free market system. We have to, that's what capitalism is all about. That we all find our niche and our groove to figure out how we can survive out there in this ruthless world. And that's where we're at. This is a ruthless world. We need to be pointing our fingers at ourselves. We need to be saying, hey, you know, I know I'm shopping at Walmart and I'm not trying to buy the, you know, all the things that is as cheap as I can because, you know, that way there's more money for me. Well, you know what? That's not the way it is. Sometimes you just got to go for the quality. Sometimes you have to go for, you know, paying a little bit more so we can keep the money here in America. Going out of our way to find products that are made here. But I got to tell you something. It's tough out there sometimes. You want to do the right thing. The other day, you know, I was having some problems with an American-made product. I'm not going to name names, but I didn't get the support that I thought I was going to get. And that makes it tough for when I go to buy that same product. I ended up buying a product made in Korea because, hey, I couldn't get the satisfaction I needed to get from the company I thought I was dealing with. And so American companies, you better wake up and you better stand behind your products a little bit more than you are. Customer service is really where it's all about. If you don't take care of your customers, somebody else will. And they'll do it better and they'll do it cheaper. So I'm saying, hey, we got to try to buy American, but at the same time, American products have to stand behind their quality and improve their customer service. You know, this outsourcing thing is a really dangerous thing. And it comes down to, you know, the shareholders. Well, you know, we got to look out for the shareholders. Well, what we have to look out for is American jobs and keeping them here so people can afford their homes. Now, like I said before, insider trading, people doing the wrong thing, you know, with managing people's money, that could be a problem. And there should be investigations with that. What it comes down to, folks, is being mindful about where we're buying our products and making sure that it's not always about making the dollar go as far as possible, because then we would just buy everything from China. And we can't do that, folks. We can't just buy everything from China. We have to buy things here. And we have to sometimes say, well, you know what? We won't eat that fancy dinner or have that go out to that fancy show or whatever we need to do to kind of balance things out. That's what's going to keep this country together, is balance and making sure that, hey, you know what? Well, sometimes, you know, you got to buy the European products. Sometimes you got to buy the products made in the Far East. Sometimes you just have to do that. But if we could just step it up just a little bit, folks, and buy those American-made products, and, you know, like I said earlier, you know, you see all these Toyota Priuses out there. Well, you know, it's a great car, great seller. Well, you know what? America's got hybrids out there, too, but I don't see that many of them out on the road. That means people aren't buying them because they're thinking that they don't have the quality that maybe the Japanese cars have. Well, that, you know what? That's not true. We've come a long way. We need to, you know, have faith in our American products. Keep buying them and keep buying them. And that's what's going to turn things around. All right, see what else we got here. Go to our next excerpt.
Some confrontations. The most notorious was with David Gregory, the left-wing reporter at NBC News. Roll the tape.
On the evaluation of the report, it says the following, and the co-chairs say the following. Stay the course is no longer viable. The current approach is not working. The situation is grave and deteriorating. Chairman Hamilton says he is not sure whether the situation can be turned around. Well, this report be seen as anything other than a rejection of this president's handling of the war?
Absolutely. And I think you need to read the report. You've read the whole report?
No, I've gone through
okay,
a lot of
Okay, well, I've read the whole report. And I will tell you, also based on the
listen
conversations,
the
based on the, well, if you listen to the chairman, you will have noted that he's not trying to, well, David, please, you get mad. You need to understand that trying to frame it in a partisan way is actually at odds with what the group itself says it wanted to do. And so you may try to do whatever you want in terms of rejection. That's not the way they view it.
I just want to be clear. Are you suggesting that I'm trying to frame this in a partisan way?
Yes.
Good. And he's not, and he was. You know, Gregory's notoriously a left-wing guy. There's no question about it. So Snow told the truth to power. Helen Thomas, another very committed left-wing individual. Here's Snow with her. Roll it.
It could have stopped the bombardment of Lebanon. We have that much control with the Israelis.
I don't think so, Helen.
For collective punishment against all of Lebanon and Palestine.
No, what's interesting, Helen,
and that's the perception of the United States.
Well, thank you for the Hezbollah view, but I would encourage you.
Nobody's accepting your explanation. What is restraint?
Well,
to call for
restraint? I'll tell you what's interesting, Helen, is people have.
Tony Snow, you will be missed. In my opinion, you're a great man, great speaker, and a fair guy all the way around. When you listen to sometimes these questions that come out of the left, you just say, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Whose side are you on? You know, you just get this anti-Semitic thing running through our veins, and you just have to say, why? Why would any logical people think that it's our fault, it's Israelis' fault, that make people want to hate us? Don't you understand, folks? People have this deep hate that's just inbred in them to hate anything that is not them, anything that's not the Quran. And, you know, we're talking about Islamic fundamentalists. We're not talking about just the regular Muslim religion, folks. You gotta get off of that. As a matter of fact, if the regular Muslim people would just start speaking out more against their own brethren, I guess you would call it. I know they're, you know, about how wrong they are and how serious they are, how wrong they are is going through these things where they the hate runs so deep that they'll just do anything to convert you, to make you like them. And that means killing you probably most of the time, because no one's gonna convert to this ideology. No way. It's not gonna happen. And when I hear people talk about Israel and the kind of questions that they come up with, and you're just listening and you're saying, are these really Americans? Are they really believe what they're thinking or saying? Or is the liberal left gone so insane that they totally believe that it's all our fault? I don't know where they get that from. I don't understand how they could even believe that. Well, you know, I think it comes down to their own misconception of what capitalism is and their own ideas of what they think, you know, how things should be in America. And it's like this. Well, you know, the rich shouldn't be too rich and the poor shouldn't be too poor. Well, you know what? That's socialism, folks. And that's the last thing that anybody's ever going to want, because with socialism, there's not going to be any, there won't be any growth. There won't be any competition. There won't be anybody wanting to strive to make things better. That's what capitalism is. People work hard to so that they get the reward for that hard work, and the rewards could be anything that they want, and that's why they're here in America, is because they can have anything they want, and no one's going to strive for that unless they have something they can work towards. And listen, folks, it's a dangerous road we're going on if we're gonna keep thinking. You, especially the people on the left, if you're going to stay too far to the left, you're going to see the demise of America. And the demise of America means the demise of the world. So we better be clear, and you better be mindful of that fact, because that's what's going to happen. As sure as I'm breathing, as sure as I'm sitting here. All right, we're going to go on an excerpt. I like to finish off the show with a couple of religious excerpts. Believe in God. I think that's what keeps us where we're centered. And you know, that's why I'm in the center. And so let's hear some of these things and a couple of excerpts I've been able to catch from a couple of brilliant scholars here, and see if there's something that I can either add to it or, hey, I'm not afraid to criticize anybody. And even as a man of the cloth, if I think that they're saying something, I don't care who it is. If it's out of line, it's out of line. And that's what I'm here, folks, for, and that is to make sure that I believe in what the right thing is. So here we go.
David, welcome to the Jesus Christ Show.
Yes, hello?
Hi.
Hi, yeah. My question is in regards to the man Melchizedek, who's spoken about in Genesis chapter 14 and also Hebrews chapter 7, where it talks about that he was without beginning of days, without end of years. Mm-hmm. I had a Christian friend of mine tell me that he believes, as well as other Christians, that that Melchizedek was actually Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And so, basically, that he was a Christophany or Jesus Christ reincarnate, or
not reincarnate, no, was pre-incarnate.
Okay, but basically Melchizedek. So my question is, was Melchizedek you or Jesus Christ?
Okay, so a Christophany or a theophany is something in Scripture, because some people might not be familiar with the term, where because people often will go, okay, well, you were birthed at this time, therefore that's your existence. Well, no, I'm deity. I always was, always will be. So there are times in the what is referred to as the Old Testament by Christians, the Old Testament, that you will find pre-incarnate manifestations of me, where you will find me taking place. So it's not referring to Jesus, but it is referring to certain things that will describe, that would make you see and say, okay, that's obviously talking about Christ before he was born. So when you deal with Hebrews, there's people use this for reincarnation. They use this verse about Melchizedek for many different things. There are two major views, David, that being one of them, that Melchizedek was, this king was a pre-incarnate Christophany, and there are those that believe that this couldn't take place because Melchizedek was also the king of Salem, and that this, if this is a historical office, then was it really God coming to earth prior and all of these things?
I don't know. I don't think I think I'm that deep to where you can really understand a lot of what he's saying there, what Jesus is saying there. I think things need to be broken up in real simpler terms. I think people need to define the different words that they're saying. That's, words are so important that, you know, sometimes words can be complicated, and you know, I think that most people would enjoy it more if they really understood what someone was saying. And I think that you really need to break things down for people. And I don't find that this particular excerpt was broken down enough to where you really were feeling it. I wasn't feeling it. And I really like to feel what I'm hearing. And that's what makes it interesting to me, is when someone is speaking and you're honing in, you're hanging on every word, because there's some great story going on, and you really can, feel through your whole being that, because when you're talking about religion subjects, it should be going on to a whole nother level. I mean, you talk about the environment, politics, and like that, but when you start talking about faith, I think those are the things that really have to totally take hold of you. In order for something to take hold of you, you have to understand what's going on. And I believe that this particular guy, he's got to get a little bit more, in layman's terms, just really break things down so we all can feel it and understand. Let's go.
Don't you love me, yeah? When we touch, we get so close, we become one. beyond.